Good evening.
Has joined.
You're the first to arrive, so we're waiting. I hope you're safe when this storm, this next one arrives.
Yeah, we are.
Baruch Hashem.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa. Ana Bekoa. Gedula Chimin Ha Tati. Alphabet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Aharenu Nora. Two French ions in Tet Nun. Na Gibor Dor Sheyehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kashin. Barhem Taharem Rahame Sikatha Lamid Gamlem Betedresh Saditav Gimel Hasin Kadosh Zero Tuha Nael Adata Et Kufet Et Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Ezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzi Akatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadi Yudta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim. The Rav Chesed Be'emet No Tzer Chesed La'alafim No Se'awon Va'fesha V'chata'a V'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kudcha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bitkilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu, Le'akda, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, the Yichudah, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayino Amadonai Elohinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nanda Kucha Barichu Koma De Aved Le'ela Witata Kolayu Kishot Biyovada Dikshot Belay Lach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ladach Yale Yam na tehakul hu ovada big shot inun kola it's the reef be alma The energy of the year 5781, which is the year that is starting this coming Shabbat. As the energy of redemption, provided that the children of Israel are ready for the redemption. One of the ways we prepare ourselves for the redemption is by studying a verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21. By studying this verse, we help expand our vessel and prepare it for the redemption, because the verse has the energy of 5781, the year of redemption. Wegam me'ayim me'ayekach la'kohanim la'levim Amar Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo. Yohewahe Dawanu Heyo. The year of 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. And by studying one verse from the Tanakh, we connect to this energy as well and promote the coming of peace in the Middle East. We promote the manifestation of that peace. The verse is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam di makom leami li Israel umtati vishatan tata willo yergaz od willo yosibu vene avlala anoto da asher barishona. Today is the 25th day of Elul, and that's a very unique and special day. Why? Because it is the first day, the day one, Yom Echad, of the week of Bereshit, the week of creation. Meditation that we connect to is as follows. If you're human, and you get angry with your friends and family. They disappoint you. They don't get you. Or they are simply rude to you. In essence, they do not do what you want them to do. Unfortunately, anger and resentment leads to broken relationships. It is only in retrospect, after they have gone, that you regret letting silly fights separate you. Pick at least one person in your life with whom you have become estranged. Remember what it is you loved about that person and reach out to them, first in your heart and then by phone, by letter, or by email. Life is too short to let petty arguments keep you from the people who mean the most to you. If you have no way to reach them, then visualize them standing or sitting with you and have that conversation that might heal the hurt and broken relationships. As we approach tomorrow, the day the universe was created, or a week from today, which is the day man was created in the Garden of Eden, we know we are less than our ancestors spiritually. So how can we know what to do, and how do we help ourselves achieve spiritually what our patriarchs and matriarchs achieved? Delve into the following metaphor to realize that you have the power and strength of the light that they revealed for you to rely upon. 9 generations ago, the Baal Shem Tov would go to a special place on Rosh Hashanah. He would light a fire in a special way. He would say a special prayer. And as a result, the entire world would be blessed. In the next generation, his successors knew the location of that special place. And they knew how to light the fire, but they forgot the prayers. So instead, they would pray, whatever the Baal Shem Tov achieves here with this fire, we should achieve. The next generation knew the location, but they forgot how to light the fire. They forgot the prayers because they never learned them. So they just stood in the location and said, whatever the Baal Shem Tov achieved here, we should achieve. Today we have forgotten even the location. So what do? We tell the story and we make the statement. Whatever the Baal Shem Tov achieved on Rosh Hashanah, when he went to that special place and he lit the fire in that special way and he said a special prayer, we should achieve because Hashem is a merciful God. And our forefathers, all many hundreds of generations, have revealed light to assist us in our spiritual growth. Hashem, we actually do not have to redo their spiritual work. Our job is to move on from where they left off. Hashem, please assist us in this endeavor. We are asked to do only that which we are capable of achieving. We do not have to be like the giants of the past. We just have to do what is in our power, stand on their shoulders. When we do so, we lay claim to everything they achieved, plus we add our own small part, and that small part, added to the good deeds of our ancestors, will be enough, just enough, to tip the scales and bring redemption. And may we all say amen to that concept. Ask yourself, do you know what your small part in the world is? Contemplate what you can add to the work of the giants of the past. Record your thoughts for later review. And my unwritten commentary to this meditation. It's really easy to find out what you can add to the giants of the past. You just have one revelation of a Torah insight that's yours to reveal. No one else will ever reveal it. By studying the writings of the past, the giants, spiritual giants of the past, we will receive that insight, not in our merit, but because they revealed the light that allows us to see. Open our eyes, Hashem, please. And may we all say amen. And we have the 9 verses, or 10 verses, that comes from Genesis chapter 36, verses 31 to 39. And these verses are describing the kings of Edom prior to there being a king in Israel. And by meditating on these verses, And when I say meditation, reading is a meditation. We don't think it's a meditation, but it truly is. Because as we read, our eyes scan across the Hebrew letters. And we are changed by that action. We are elevated by that action. Ve'ele hamlachim asher mahu ve'eret edom livnei melech melech livnei Yisrael vayim lo bedom bala bela ben beor v'shamiro din hava v'yamat bala vayim lo tachtav yoval ben zera mi batra v'yamat yoval v'yim lo tachtav Kusham me'eretz atemani. Verse 35. Vayamat kusham vayim lo tachta vadad en badad hamakeh et bidyan Yisdei Moav V'shem Yiro Avit V'yamat Hadad V'yim Lo Achtal Samla Mimasreka V'yamat Samla V'yim Lo Achtal Shaul Mirchovot Panahar Vayamat Shaul Vayim Loch Tachtav Baal Hanan Ben Achbor Vayamat Baal Hanan Ben Achbor Vayim Loch Tachtav Hadar V'shem Yiro Pahu V'shem Ishto Mehetavel Bat Matred Bati Mezahav. In the mod meditation, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. Tonight's class? Well, let us say the eighth verse of the Anapkoach. And we should say this in a whisper. Our class tonight is an essay by the Ari on the holiday, the upcoming holiday of Rosh Hashanah. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. When that landing page opens up, scroll down where it says Rosh Hashanah, and there's only one link under that. And it has to do with shofar meditation. And this is meditations not for the person blowing the shofar, but the person who is doing the mitzvah. And what is the mitzvah? Not to blow the shofar, it's to hear the shofar. It's actually to listen to the shofar and allow the shofar to change your internal essence. We'll say the L'Shem Yichud and then we'll start our study. L'Shem Yichud. Via specific meditations during the shofar blast, the root of judgment is sweetened. It is explained in Kabbalah and Hasidut that on Rosh Hashanah, the act of the creation of the world is in a sense replayed. Although since Hashem made a covenant with Noah never again to destroy the world, the world will certainly continue to exist from year to year. The passage from the old year to the new year is still a critical nexus point. This is because the nature of the created universe is being determined at that time. The energy that powered the previous year is withdrawn, and a new energy is drawn down. Since the creative energy that powers the world is being withdrawn to its source, there are no rules, and everything is in a sense up for grabs. Evil can assert that it deserves to receive this new life force of the coming year, especially in view of the record of its so-called rightful recipients during the previous year. Therefore, in order that the life force of the new year be drawn down as it should, that is channeled mainly into holiness and its champions in this world, the Jewish people, it is necessary to ensure that Hashem is reminded, so to speak, of his original vision of creation, in which the children of Israel are his emissaries to make this world into his home. The word shofar may be analyzed as follows. The shin vav, together with the 14 joints of the hand holding the shofar, are 320 sparks, which are awakened from the candles of darkness. The commentary explains this. The word shofar is spelled shin vav pei in resh. The numerical value of shin and vav is 306. The hand of the shofar blower has 14 joints, 3 in each of the 4 fingers and 2 in the thumb. 306 plus 14 is 320. The number 320 is associated with the attribute of severe judgment, of din. The candle of darkness, in Aramaic, butzina dekardinuta, is an appellation of the gevura of Atik Yomim. That is gevura of Atik Yomin, which is Keter. It's the partsuf of Keter that has 10 sephirot. And within those 10 sephirot of Keter, which is now called our Rikon Pin because it's a complete structure of partsuf, there's a Gevura within that. And that name from the Aramaic is the Butzina the Kardinuta. That's an unwritten commentary. The Gevura of Atik Yomin becomes vested in the Bina of our Recon Pin. In the cascading development of the Partsufim, the higher Partsuf always serves as the motivation or the origin of the next lower Partsuf. In this case, Atik Yomin, the Partsuf of delight, motivates the Partsuf of will, a Recon Pin. The way this motivation works is that the seven lower sub-sephirot of the higher Partsuf enter and become vested within the lower Partsuf. Chesed of the higher Partsuf becomes vested in Chachma of the lower Partsuf. Gevura of the higher Partsuf becomes vested in Bina of the lower Partsuf, and so on. What is relevant here is that the Gevura of Atik Yomin becomes vested in the Bina of Arikan Pin. We thus see that Bina is rooted in a higher Gevura. That is what gives Bina its ability to act as the evaluating principle of the intelligence, weighing the implications of the insights that Bina receives from Chachma. The other two letters, Pe and Resh, signify the five states of Gevura indicated by the five final letters. Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pe, and Ha, that are awakened from Bina. Why are the final letters considered Gevura, considered being restrained? The answer is because they're final. They appear at the end. The end means there's no continuity, and that's a form of restraint. That's a form of limitation. And that's what creates the judgment. I'm continuing. The numerical value of Pei and Resh is 80 plus 200, or 280. And this number is also the combined numerical value of the five letters, the five final letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Mem, which is 40, Nun, which is 50, Tzadik, which is 90, Pei, which is 80, and Chaf, which is 20. 280 is the total. The five final letters are also a phenomena of Gevura, or Din, severe judgment, since they indicate a stop or a limit of the flow of the life force or meaning indicated by the other letters. They appear at the end of each word. That is their restraint. As we have explained previously, the five states of Gevura that originate within Bina are the source of the five states of Gevura of Dat, which in turn inform the Gevura aspect of Zeran Pin and the Nukva, as was explained in the paragraphs above. We see from all this that the shofar is an expression of the attributes of severity and judgment. On Rosh Hashanah, the inner dimension of the lights of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Malchut, ascend into Bina. The renewed inner light returns when the shofar is blown. Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet are the three principal emotions, and thus signify the partsuf of Zeran Pin. Malchut, of course, signifies the partsuf of the Nukva. On Rosh Hashanah, these two offspring of Ima, the Bina, withdraw back into the womb where they originated, so to speak. The external dimension of the lights of these partsufim remains in place in order for creation to continue to exist. The renewed inner light returns when the shofar is blown. This is in order to sweeten all the aspects of severe judgment in the mouth of the one blowing the shofar, and in the breath issuing from his mouth that enters into the shofar. This breath collides with the seven aspects of breath present in Bina. And thus produces 260 lights. This number being seven times the numerical value of the word for breath in Hebrew, which is Hevel, spelled Hey Bet Lamed, or Hey Vet Lamed, which has a gematria of 37, plus the Golel, making it 38. Five times 38 is 260. Actually, 5 times 37 is 259, plus the kolel adds to it to make 260. Bina says the Zohar is the heart, and through it the heart understands. Although understanding is obviously a facet of the intellect will produce, if all is functioning well, an emotional response. And thus, Bina may be seen as the origin of the emotions. Emotions are felt in the heart, and therefore the Zohar calls Bina the heart. The arousal of the emotions, which is physically manifest as the warming of the heart, produces breath, the beginnings or the raw material of expression. This breath may ultimately be expressed as words, when the breath is acted upon and processed by the five organs of speech in the mouth, which themselves manifest the five states of Gevura of Bina, or as a scream, a sigh, or a kiss. In any case, the seven aspects of breath of Bina are the seven proto-emotions as they exist within Bina. I am adding, the five organs of speech are lips, teeth, tongue, the roof of the mouth, and the throat. The first set of blasts is called Tekiya Shivarim Trua Tekiya. The first blast is the straight Tekiya. One should have in mind during this blast that the numerical value of the root of the word tekiya, spelled Taf Kuf Ayin, is 570. And this is the same as that of the word for 10, which is Esser, spelled Ayin Shin Resh. And that the numerical value of the rest of the letters, Yud He, is 15. And that 10 times 15 is equal to 150. 15 is the numerical value of the divine name Yah, Yud-Heh. Since this name is associated with the Sephirah of the intellect, it is considered completely iterated in its 10 sub-Sephirot, meaning 10 times 15, or the number 150. In other words, intend to elicit the 150 lights from Abba, who is associated with the name of Yah, the Zeran Pin, and from him to the Nukva. In the three blasts of the Shevarim, have in mind that they express the states of severe judgment situated in the throat. As we have explained previously, the throat is the narrow passageway from the intellect, the head, to the emotions, the torso. The transformation from intellect to emotion is a contraction of the original light or consciousness of the intellect. This process is dangerous in that the emotions can be sidetracked along the way into all other sorts of contexts. These dangers are the states of din, situated in the throat. Although the Arizal does not mention it here, these states of din are generally identified with the three ministers of Pharaoh, the butcher, the baker, and the butler, who are associated with the esophagus, the trachea, and the jugular vein. Pharaoh himself is associated with the neck, since the word for neck in Hebrew, oreth, is spelled with the same letters as the words Pharaoh. Pharaoh in Egypt in general signified the constricted state of intellectual bondage, in which the intellect is prevented from giving birth to emotions. This is why the Egyptians threw the Jewish babies into the Nile. These three blasts then expand into the nine blasts of the Teruah, intend through these latter to sweeten these states of judgment manifested by the Shevarim, by means of the Chesed situated in the throat. Specifically, the throat is the origin of the guttural letters Aleph, Chet, Ayin, and He, whose combined numerical value is 84. This number is 2 times 42, the number of letters in the two names Havaya spelled out with the letter Yud. Again, since we are at the level of intellect, the three states of Devorah expand into their full iteration of 3 times 3, or 9. The letters of the Hebrew alphabet are divided in terms of their origin in the mouth into the dentals, the labials, the gutturals, the palatals, and the linguals. The numerical value of the name Havaya, when spelled out with the letter Yud, is 72. And as we have explained previously, spelling out this name in 2 iterations requires 42 letters, 4 for the name itself, 10 for the first iteration, and 28 for the second iteration. These two names of Havaya are the two drops of 42 letters situated in Bina, that is in the throat, and they are names Havaya spelled out with the letter Yud. The breath of the lungs rises to the throat in search of expression. As we said, the breath of the lungs, warmed by the heart related to Bina, rises to the throat in search of expression. As we have explained previously, each of the four spellings out of the name Havaya is associated with a specific part two, and this one is associated with Chokmah, the initial insight on which the analysis of Bina operates. The presence of Bina in the throat is thus the experience of the insight of Chokmah at the core of Bina. This presence of original insight acts to mollify, to sweeten the severity of the Bina insights, of the Bina process, and allows it to remain impaired by the recollection of the original insight. Not impaired, but inspired by the recollection of the original insight. And this is a manifestation of Chesed, which is also indicated by the fact that 72, the numerical value of this name in its first iteration, is also the numerical value of the word Chesed. Finally, in the last tikkia of this series, intend to combine all these elements together. The states of severity first appeared as 3 in the Shevarim, and were then expanded into 9 in the Teruah, and are now united into one simple blast, indicating that they have become sweetened. Just as the first tikkia is the sweetening light of Abba, Chokmah, the original insight, In describing the next two sets of blasts, Tekiah Shivarim Tekiah and Tekiah Truah Tekiah, the Arizal states that the intentions of the Tekiahs that frame each set at the beginning and end are the same as described above, eliciting the light of Abba into Zeranpin and thence to the Nukva. The middle blasts, Shevarim and Truah, also indicate various aspects of severe judgment, differing based on the numerical value of the number of beats in each, as reflected in the various divine names, possessing equivalent numerical values. Specifically, the Shevarim indicates the hard, severe judgments, while the Truah blasts indicate the soft, severe judgments, presumably because they were more pulverized than the Shevarim. In the set of 30 blasts, there are 270 short beats, the numerical value of the word for evil. In any case, it is clear that the overall idea is to sweeten the judgments of the middle blast by the simple, straightforward blast of the Tekiah. In Hasidut, it is explained that the Tekiah indicates the primal scream of the soul, expressing its ineffable yearning and absolute desire for Hashem in his essence. The Shevarim and Truah blasts reflect the broken-hearted crying that results when the revelation of the Tekiah consciousness focuses then on the individual's actual behavior in the here and now. All three sets, the Tekiah, the Shevarim, the Truah, the Tekiah, the Tekiah, the Shevarim, the Tekiah, and the Tekiah, Truah, Tekiah, are blown three times, giving a total of 30 blasts. The Tekiah is sounded for 9 beats. The Shevarim for sounded for 3 beats each, making 9 beats. And the 9 blasts of the Truah are each 1 beat long, again giving 9 beats. Thus, in the set of 30 blasts, there are 270 short black beats. Now, 270 is the numerical value of the word for evil, in Hebrew, Ra, Rechayim. The entire set of 30 blasts is sounded 3 times, before Musaf, during the silent recitation of Musaf, and during the repetition of Musaf, totaling 90 blasts. In addition, the 3 sets are again blown, once each, making 10 blasts that are done during the Kaddish after the Musaf. The grand total is thus 100 blasts. And I am adding, Kabbalah teaches to blow a final Tekiah Gedolah, making 101 blasts. This connects to the Archangel Michael, which connects to the High Priest and the Sephirah of Chesed. During the 270 blasts, the 30 blasts before Musaf intend to annihilate the evil inclination towards idol worship. During the 270 beats of the 30 blasts of the silent Musaf intend to annihilate the evil inclination towards sexual aberration. During the 270 beats of the 30 blasts of the repetition of Musaf intend to annihilate the evil inclination toward murder. During the final 10 blasts after the prayers, during the Kaddish, intend to annihilate the evil inclination towards slander. Normally, if a person is faced with the choice of committing a sin or being killed, he may commit the sin in order to save his life. There are three exceptions to this, however. Idol worship, major sexual offenses, and murder. Although one is not required to lay down his life rather than speak slander, we are nonetheless taught that slander is such a heinous crime that it is considered as grave as these three cardinal sins. That's the end of our handout, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourself, I would just mention, this is the kavanah to have when you hear the shofar, which is what is the mitzvah, not the control of the mitzvah. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all shalom gadol, much peace and serenity in your life, and a significant sweetening of the judgments against us. And as we have learned in this essay, I didn't focus the attention on it, but we have learned that the shofar is judgment. And by the person blowing the judgment who's aware of that, blowing the shofar is aware of the judgment and is also aware that the 270 beats is how the judgment is sweetened. It makes a significant difference in the effect of the listening to the shofar. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
Shalom.